looking forward to seeing the hand of God's provision today. We're just going to call today a day of miracles. Why not? I have on the wall a powerful wave of God's provision, and we have a mighty big wave and an itty-bitty little surfer down at the bottom who is, getting some perspective on the greatness and the bigness of what God creates. And I would just encourage you this morning to open up your heart and get a fresh revelation of how absolutely God is available in your life, my life. And it's not just the presence and the power and the promise and all of those great things, but it is God's faithfulness that is also with us today. I'm going to be reading this morning from Hosea. And I am in Hosea in part because I was reading in the Book of Mysteries by Jonathan Cahn, and I was reading about fallow ground. Fallow ground. Do you know what fallow ground is? Well, I've read over that several times, and I suppose at some point, having spoken from this passage before, that I have looked at this in the past also. But have you ever noticed when someone comes to salvation that there is a tremendous season of excitement and motivation? And I know for myself, they probably wanted to lock me up because I was out knocking on doors all over our little town of Hope Sound, inviting people to come to Jesus and passing out tracts. And I really believe some people, even in the church, thought we've got to do something with that kid. He's out of control. But there's something powerful that happens in a place where God has not yet been able to move. And fallow ground, as Jonathan Cahn points out in his Book of Mysteries, is the ground where the farmer actually allows the ground to produce whatever it's going to produce. It just goes into rest. And so when you may see a piece of land like that, it might look like that no one's doing anything there. But actually, there is something going on. There is a regeneration process that's taking place. The farmer my dad farmed for, he would rotate his crops. He respected giving the land a rest on the seventh year. He did that with his crops, and he was confident that it definitely was a blessing in the next harvest when you came back. Well, reading from the book of Hosea, chapter 10, there is a scripture that says, "Plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of my love." Plow up the New Living Translation says hard ground. I believe some of your translations would say fallow ground. Plow up the fallow ground, the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Just a tad bit of the context of this passage. You're familiar with Israel, the northern kingdoms, Judah in the south, and neither one of those areas were totally righteous throughout history. However, Judah tended to be more so. Israel tended to be more rebellious and more unrighteous. In fact, in chapter 7 of Hosea, it says in verse 1, "I wanted to heal Israel, but its sins were far too great. Samaria is filled with liars, thieves, and bandits. Its people don't realize I'm watching them. Their sinful deeds are all around them. I see them all. The people make the king glad with their wickedness." And you could just read through there and you can see how it seems as though Israel had just done everything it possibly could to rebel against God. And then in chapter 8, it says, "Sound the alarm, and the enemy is descending like an eagle on the people of God." Verse 2, now we have a little different scenario. Israel is pleading with God, "Help us, help us." Isn't that something? How so many people, once they get in trouble, they begin to cry out to God. And that was Israel as well. And Judah had their times of that. In verse 14 of chapter 8, Israel has built great palaces and Judah has fortified its cities, but they have both forgotten their maker. And so we see that even the prophets In chapter 9, verse 7, the time of Israel's punishment has come. The day of payment is almost here. Soon Israel will know this all too well. The prophets are crazy, and the people shout. The inspired men are mad. So they taunt, for the nation is burdened with sin and shows only hatred for those who love God. Well, that was the condition of Israel, the northern kingdom, on many occasions. And of course, they would be taken into captivity. And some of those tribes are considered to be mostly the lost tribes. However, they're not lost to God. And Revelation talks about the fact that from each of the 12 tribes, 12,000 will be raised up. And so we know in the end time, during the tribulation time, God knows exactly where all of those tribes are. And so the mercy of the Lord is going to bring forth a remnant from it. But what about this scripture in chapter 10 that says, plant the good seeds of righteousness? Obviously, for us as a nation, we have a little bit of change. There are some winds of change. There are winds of awakening. There are winds of revival that are touching many of our university campuses. And also across our nation, there are pastors that are beginning to seek the Lord in a fresh way. I believe the Holy Spirit is calling our nation to once again bow its knees, humble itself, bow our heads, and to welcome the moving and working of righteousness once again in our land. And so this invitation, it certainly is for those who are backslidden. It is for those who maybe have never even known the Lord or come to the Lord. And the promise is that where there has never been any light, never has been any harvest, that when God comes, God is able to bring forth a mighty harvest out of that drought, out of that desert. And so some of you can look back in your life. You remember those early days, those early days of salvation, where there was such enthusiasm and such joy, and there was such a freshness and a newness in your life. And that is partially because you had been hard ground. You had been fallow ground. And your soil was turned by faith, and your heart was opened by the Holy Spirit. And the seed of the Word of God began to come into you, and faith began to arise, and you began to be moved by the Holy Spirit in exciting ways, and you began to tell everybody what God was doing in your life. Well, that's not only for those who are newly born again. Those of us who have been in Christ a lot of years, we also have fallow ground. Some of that fallow ground may be places where God moved a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Maybe some of you can remember some great seasons where God poured out His Spirit in your life, and there was a tremendous harvest, a great season of great enjoyment as you walked with God. I would suggest to you from the Word of God that God is not finished with you yet, that God is once again saying, church, I'm not finished. You have some fallow ground. Yes, there's been areas that have been dormant. There are areas that have been dry. There are areas that have been silent. And there are areas that may be filled with weeds. But if you will let me, I will turn that soil in your life again, and I will bring forth a huge harvest, and you will once again have spring. You know, this is the spring season. You know, this is the month of Nisan, and this is the month when we move away from winter and we move into the season of spring. It's the season of the Exodus. It's a season of deliverance. It's a season when captives are set free and they are given a new life and a new opportunity. It's also the season when Yeshua laid down His life for us that we might have life everlasting. I invite you today to step out of whatever the size of your field has been of faith. All of us have a faith field, and that's kind of where we do our business. We go to church and we run our routines, and we serve God in a normal way. But could I encourage you today to say, God, go into those dormant areas of my life. Stir up those greater gifts. Awaken in me new faith. Stir me to a whole new level and move me in a fresh way with gracious joy an overflowing work of the Holy Spirit that I might become more fruitful than ever before in my whole life. I do believe that God has been getting you ready and me ready for this very time our whole life. So why not thrive? Some have just survived, and thank God you've survived. That's a good thing. But how about turning the next page and saying, this resurrection season, I choose to once again thrive in the fullness of my God. Would you bow with me in prayer? Most gracious Father, this is an awesome day. We rejoice in you. Father, you have touched our hearts in ways that only God could touch us. Father, there's no one like you. We sing that song, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Father, that is so true. That is so true of us. Here at WCNO, the team, the staff, as we have come together to serve. And that is also true of every born-again believer. We could all testify and stand this day and say, no one ever could touch my heart like you do, Lord. This morning, we just open up the windows of our life, the doors of our life, and we say, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in anew and afresh. Every area of my life that has been dormant, maybe for some time, maybe there are great areas of faith that have been dormant. Maybe there are great areas of evangelism that have laid dormant. Maybe there are relationships that have not been tended to that need to be restored. Maybe there are areas of service and ministry that have not been explored ever in our lives. Father, maybe there are areas of faith and gift that we have never yet understood or explored in you. So, Father, today as we are in the resurrection season, we say, come, Lord Jesus, turn the soil of my heart, plant a fresh crop with your seed, and may I be very fruitful for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Friends, may the Lord bless you this morning. I think we may actually have one of those books of Jonathan Kahn, The Mysteries. We would like to give that away. And if you'd like to have that for any donation this morning, well, do we just have one book, Sherry?
I believe we have two.
We may have two. We have at least one, maybe two. And for any donation this morning, if you would like to have one of those books and you give us your name, you call in with a donation, we will be happy to send that out to you at our expense. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Father, you're a good, 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 good Father. You're a good, good, good Father. We worship you. We praise you. We honor you. Father, we just welcome you into this day, every second of it, every minute of it. Father, guide us, lead us, be with your people as they're preparing to go into work. Lord, bless the businesses, bless the business owners. Father, bless the housewife, bless the doctors and the lawyers that are going out this morning, the first responders, the police officers. Lord, be with them today. Father, we just pray that you would be with those that are merchants, those that are out on the sea, those that are perhaps today in nursing homes and hospitals, nurses that are serving in those capacities. Father, we lift up the sick and the injured. We pray over them that the miraculous intervention of God would break the chain of normal, and that today would be a day of miracles in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, in your home, in your car, in your life. We pray in Jesus' name. We lift up the pastors, the elders in the local churches. We lift up, Father, the men's groups, the women's groups, the youth groups. We lift up